Hey everyone, welcome to the GeoTrek podcast, where we explore the world to bring you stories about extreme weather and natural disasters not covered by the mainstream media. On this episode, we're looking into a litigation summit that was organized in Mobile, Alabama in April of 2025. This brought together a lot of organizations and professionals that work in different aspects of insurance, from litigators to insurance agents to professionals, and even myself. I was involved with the summit. I'm a forensic meteorologist. We were all getting together to talk about the insurance landscape and especially address this issue of insurance fraud. So this is going to be an interesting episode. Everywhere where we're talking about what professionals should know to what you should know if you're in your home and someone knocks on the door saying your roof has been damaged and they want to fix it. What should you do in a case like that? We're going to talk about it on this episode of the GeoTrek podcast. We have two special guests, Ron Lagaki and Amy Fail with Allied Trust. Allied Trust is really taking leadership in this area to get out ahead of fraud and to address it and to really help provide leadership in the landscape. They're here on the podcast with us. And as always, we're bringing you latest coverage of stories about extreme weather and natural disasters not covered by the mainstream media. Make sure you subscribe and follow our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget about our YouTube channel as well. We're really growing our video podcast as well. So make sure you follow and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the GeoTrek podcast. Now let's jump into the latest episode here where we look into the litigation summit in Mobile, Alabama. Well, without further introduction, Ron and Amy, thank you so much for taking time to come on the GeoTrek podcast.
Thank you, Hal.
Thanks for having us here.
So, quick disclaimer, we're all sleep deprived. That's why I am confident this is going to be the best podcast we've ever done. We have no idea what's going to be said, but it's going to be great. Y'all put in so much work with the litigation summit. I know you really facilitated an amazing summit here. A lot of different partners. Let's start with who was involved in the summit and who came here to participate.
So, you know, we started the summit about, or the planning of the summit about 3-4 months ago. And it really evolved over time where we initially started with our defense partners and the NICB, or National Insurance Crime Bureau, attending. And then it really expanded out to the departments of insurance. And we started with Louisiana Department, and then Texas Department came on, and then Florida. We reached out to Florida, and they were quick to respond as well. So 4 different departments of insurance, including the state of Alabama, where the commissioner attended. Defense partners, our engineering firms. Amy, if you want to add any.
Yeah, Hurricane Hal, we had Scuba Steve with FEC. Lots of carrier partners that ended up jumping in last minute. And of course, our complex adjusters and daily adjusters and Allied Trust Management.
No, it was fantastic. A lot of people came together. And what I like too is we stayed together as a group. Sometimes you go to these big conferences and there's all these breakout sessions and it's all these people, but at the end you maybe didn't build that many relationships. We were in sessions together, we ate together. I think a lot of deep relationships were strengthened or made here at the summit.
I would fully agree with that. And I think one thing that came out of it was it demonstrated that there's a number of people, or everybody that attended has a love for what they're doing and a passion for what they're doing. And they really projected that during the conference.
And that was the purpose that Allied Trust had when, you know, Ron had your, 2:30 a.m., brainchild thought that you projected upon me shortly thereafter. You know, the intent of our inaugural litigation summit was really to have an intimate setting. We didn't want to do things like, those big box conferences that you see. We really wanted to bring people into that intimate setting and, have valuable conversations and great dialogue. And I really think we accomplished that with the help of CNC.
For sure. Just so many different partners involved in different states with different organizations. I wanted to back up a little bit. What was really the purpose or the goal of having this litigation summit?
I really think we were trying to get an awareness to the industry of an ongoing problem that we don't think the industry or all the carriers out there really look at fighting fraud. And we take it, we bring up passion. So we are very passionate, and we have a culture in our organization that you pay what you owe, but you rigorously defend those things that you do not owe. And that's typically in the form of fraud.
And I, you know, just to add to that, I mean, I think, you know, the industry is kind of in dire straits right now. Fraud is it has been front and center. And I would say, you know, we're kind of, you know, in a battleground right now, and it's really for our policyholders. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, you know, this is part of the main reason why we did this, is to focus on our policyholders. You know, folks can't afford their insurance premiums anymore, and we don't want to see businesses being driven out of our states and, you know, homes going into foreclosure because those premiums are rising. And, you know, when you have folks that are taking advantage of your policyholders, it really makes it hard to, you know, facilitate a working insurance company. So we're, you know, pleased to be able to put this on and to bring some focus to that.
I was shocked to learn about the scale of fraud. I think on the first day there was a talk, gentleman from Louisiana mentioned as much as $308 billion annually. And when you divide that out, a lot of Americans are maybe paying thousands of dollars a year just to cover the fraud, right? I mean, the scale of this, I think very few people realize how big this is.
You know, the policyholders out there, all they see is that premium number. And it's, as Amy referenced, it's you know, the average premium is high right now. And she referenced that people can't afford it and some people are going self-insured. But what they don't understand is a majority of that is attributed to the amount of fraud that's going on out there.
Yeah, and I'd have to hypothesize that $308 billion is a conservative estimate. That is just from what we can quantify. You know, that doesn't take into account, you know, reporting that, you know, metrics that, you know, we just can't look into right now. So
what would you say are the main ways? I mean, there are obviously dozens of different ways people can commit insurance fraud, but especially with catastrophe insurance, property losses, what are maybe the two or three main ways we see fraud playing out?
I would probably say you have some legitimate claims where bad actors may get involved, and those legitimate claims have a starting point dollar amount that the insurance company knows is the right amount of money. And from there, they're inflated, and not inflated by one time, two. These are like multiple five time inflated what the original estimate is. And that's one huge contributor.
When you say inflated, you mean like a roof should be maybe $40,000, but they're writing it as maybe 80 or 100 or double.
Absolutely.
Or tripling.
That's exactly
what
it
actually
is. Yep.
And I would say, you know, you mentioned catastrophe, and I know, you know, we know what you do out in the field. You know, catastrophe fraud is, you know, also a multi-billion dollar industry. You've been out, you know, in the streets after, you know, the severe flooding, after, you know, massive wind events, tornadic activity, hurricanes. And that is when people are at their worst. You know, we like to say, you know, when you purchase your home, typically that is the largest investment that an adult makes, so that, you know, you have a lot of love and a lot of, you know, emotion in that home. And when it's damaged, we need to be there for you. But you have, you know, unfortunately egregious and nefarious actors that are preying on the backs of folks at their, you know, most vulnerable time. And I'd say that's, you know, kind of probably number one. And I'd say the inflation ties into that.
I'm glad you brought up that fact that you have bad actors preying on storm victims, because sometimes when people think fraud, they're thinking it's the policyholders maybe that are behind the fraud. I mean, we know that can happen, but it seems like sometimes you'll have maybe an elderly woman. She's just at home and there's a knock on the door, right? All of a sudden someone's saying you have damage to your home. There was a hailstorm or something like that. And these bad actors may actually prey upon the victims or people that actually weren't victims of a storm, but they're told they were, it sounds like.
Many times the policyholder doesn't even know that behind the scenes, somebody has inflated their claim to an amount far beyond what they thought their loss was. So they are
just, right. They're not in the industry. They wouldn't know what the number should be, right?
Yeah. So it's somebody coming in behind them saying they may not even know they're represented in some cases, or they may not know that they have signed something with a roofer who's now taking over their claim.
And as you can tell, we're very, very passionate about our policyholders. So, you know, when we see that type of negative impact that's taking place in our marketplace, you know, we're going to stand up and fight. We're here to punch it in the face.
With fraud being so prevalent, so many different organizations and entities often are just settling and saying, well, we'll just come to terms with the fraud. Explain the position Amy, I know you and I have talked about this with Allied Trust, just stepping up to take leadership to say, we want to expedite those legit claims, but we also want to find the fraudulent claims and stand up to it. Could you walk us through, I mean, why is Allied taking such a position of leadership in this sector to address this?
Well, I think that, you know, if you're not fighting fraud, you're perpetuating it. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, settling to make a claim go away does nothing but embolden that type of activity, and we're here to shut it down.
Yeah, we don't want to reward bad behavior, right? So we make the people that are the bad actors and the people performing the bad behaviors accountable and maybe move on to a different area or get out of the business altogether or ultimately pay the final price of getting arrested or something that maybe the departments can support us with.
Yeah, Amy, I think you and I were talking about rampant fraud in one area where Allied Trust stepped up to fight back on this. And you shared a story about how then some of these bad actors just disappeared and stopped trying to perpetrate. Could you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could go on for hours talking about, you know, the things that we've done to combat insurance fraud. But, you know, we've had, you know, situations where we've found certain roofing companies that are pushing out documents to their salesmen and their door knockers that says, if you have an Allied Trust policyholder, don't do this. So that's kind of one example. You know, you're doing something right when you have, you know, your name on a piece of paper with that type of, you know, that type of nefarious actor. We were really proud to see that. You know, we also have unfortunate situations with not only storm chasing post-storm, but we've had situations where you've got roofing companies that are hopping up on roofs and actually physically causing damage to our policy holders' roofing systems. And we find that type of activity, we pursue it vigorously. And, you know, we make a point that we're not going to pay for those claims. And in one situation, we invested quite a bit of money to fight a group fraud ring investigation. We closed that investigation a year ago.
Right.
We've not seen that entity again thereafter.
At the summit, we've talked about these intentional damages, which I believe is called manual manipulation or other things. So how can we identify like manual manipulation, say, of an alleged hail event that never happened? How can we tell that was manipulated?
So there's certain cues. So hail has a certain area of impact and it's typically random, right? So it's and there's usually soft metal damage. There's other indicators that it's hail. You have yourself and how we can establish through forensic meteorology that an event actually occurred. And absent that one trigger, which is one of many, you know, taking pictures is another. That does the insured have photos? But there are ways, people taking quarters on a roof and making a circle mark to say that that's hail. They're pretty ingenious.
Being an attachment on the bottom of your shoe and just getting up and walking on it.
Right. Wearing golf shoes out there with spikes on them.
We've seen ball pin hammers with plastic over the end of the hammer. So
they're trying to get on the roof and actually make it look like there was hail damage or wind damage, but they're actually causing the damage themselves.
Absolutely. And folks get very creative. But again, that's in our policyholder's detriment. And in furtherance to Ron's point, we have to utilize great experts. So when we have a suspicion that type of activity is taking place, first of all, we got to loop the policyholder in, you know, and secondary to that, we have to deploy the right experts. You know, historically speaking, I think carriers may have been behind the time and using, you know, canned weather reports. And so, you know, it's very important for us to get out in front of it by the use of utilizing forensic meteorology, also utilizing forensic engineering so that we can, number one, support whether a weather event actually occurred, and in tandem to that with the engineering side of it to confirm, you know, what type of damages exist, you know, on that roofing system.
And part of that, I mean, as you also referenced, we involve the insured, right? This isn't adversarial against the insured. This is informational. We want to know what happened, who was on your roof last, what did you see? What can you tell us about your claim? How were you approached with your claim?
This is really interesting. So a lot of times you're really working side by side with the insured. They're the victim as well as you. You're kind of working together to put together the pieces of the puzzle and figure out what happened.
Absolutely.
We're partners with our business partners and we're partners with our insureds.
Yeah. I mean, our contract is with our policyholder. That's what we're there to do, is take care of them in their time of need. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for other carriers and other carriers' policies, but, you know, Allied Trust is also going to do the right thing. When our policyholder has been victimized, you know, when we're talking about manual manipulation, they're cooperative in that type of investigation. You know, we cover vandalism. But, you know, when we have to cover that type of claim because someone has been severely taken advantage of, we're also going to pursue that bad actor vigorously.
As you've engaged in forensic meteorology or forensic engineering to bring in experts to use the best available science to really get at this, how have you seen that affect the process?
Well, how it affects it is it's getting it right, right? So it's not about getting a result, it's getting the right result. So utilizing experts in the process gets us to that right result. And we want to do the right thing by the insured, do the right thing by all policyholders, and do the right thing for the industry.
And I know we're talking about, you know, our litigation summit, but a large portion of the usage of forensic meteorology, you know, also has to do with substantiating claims. It's not just simply to flush out fraud. It's also to legitimize a claim whenever we need further detail and able to support a coverage determination.
You know, I've been working with you all doing forensic meteorology, and I mentioned this in my talk. What impressed me so much about Allied Trust, you're actually giving me a very minimal amount of information, alleged date of loss and an address, and you're just then letting me do an independent analysis that's unbiased, right? You're not saying, well, we don't think this happened, right? You're just
that's
giving
the
me-
intent.
And I love that because, you know, sometimes we say we're really confident something bad, there was a big hailstorm here, and I pick that up right away. You just want to know the truth so you can expedite those legit claims but fight the false ones.
Right. We don't want to taint your opinion because we're hiring you as an expert. So, you know, to tell you, you know, we don't think hail occurred on this date of loss, can you figure it out? I think that, you know, that's planting a seed. And so, you know, our intent of utilization of any of our experts is just pure natural conclusion that you're going to come to. And we don't want to, you know, taint that distinction whatsoever.
Right. We've set it out, especially with our forensic engineer partners. We like nothing more than they come back and say, this is a hail event that occurred. And through the use of the forensic weather reporting, this is a hail event that occurred within our policy period. And we get to pay the claim. Like, there's no better claim outcome than you get to help an insured and pay a claim.
The whole field of forensics is so interesting. You're basically trying to reconstruct a past event and put these puzzle pieces together, whether it's forensic engineering, forensic meteorology, sometimes reconstructing traffic accidents, whatever it is, when that picture comes into focus and you say, okay, an event actually happened. Like you said, it's like, okay, we have confidence. We can move ahead and quickly pay this claim.
Right. So the adjustment process for us is an art, and the forensic side is the science. Right. Yeah. So we pair the two together.
Yeah, I love that. And in a real world applied example where you have policyholders that benefit from the work that you're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely.
Where do y'all see this going in the future? I mean, we know fraud is increasing, but also we hear that catastrophe losses are also increasing. We have more sprawled areas. In some cases, we have different patterns in the climatology. Where's the field going, say, in the next decade?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, carriers working together and sharing what we can. You know, we had a call to action specifically with our litigation summit to ask for help. You know, we can't do this alone. We're going to do what's right for our Allied Trust policyholders, but we need other carriers to step up and do the same thing. You know, in addition to that, you know, also you have to have legislative reform. And you see, you know, and we won't call out particular states, obviously, but, you know, we see when, you know, something substantive good happens in the insurance landscape in a certain state, you start to see those bad actors trickling into, you know, neighboring states. So a large majority of that, too, and that's well beyond, you know, my acumen and Ron's, is that, you know, our legislators have to get up and do something about this.
Yeah, and I think it just from the turnout we had from the different departments, there is an appetite by every department, and they all have the similar struggles that they're going through. They all have the same desire to get in front of it, and there's really that overall, again, appetite for carriers to help them. Like, it's our job to identify it, to uncover the trend, to identify the bad actors, and then we hand it to them to take action.
Well, that makes sense. We have the different carriers. We have the regulatory side. It's like if one side isn't pulling the weight, we're going to see the fraud expand in that area, right? It almost sounds like all these actors, all these different entities need to really work together.
Absolutely. The right hand has to talk to the left hand, as they say.
I learned some interesting things at the summit. One thing, when a hurricane hits the coast, you often get this very broad area of winds. And something I learned is a lot of times you don't tend to get, or several people told me you don't tend to get as many disputed claims because it's well known there was a massive wind event or something like that. I mean, obviously you get the fringe area of the hurricanes and there is some localization, but it seems like a lot of the fraud and a lot of the question marks come in with maybe hail wind determination and some of these other events where if you think of the thousands of little hail events that happen all over the region or the country in the course of a season, it's a lot to keep up with, right?
Yeah, I think when you see a catastrophe, there's a certain type of fraud that comes behind that. Of course, you have, as we mentioned previously, predatory vendors and things of that nature. Then you have, you know, after a distinct amount of time, then you see, you know, folks starting to come in and kind of get on the outskirts of where that storm actually may have caused damage, you know, to maybe submit illegitimate claims. You know, without a catastrophe, you don't have the, you know, the sense to be able to storm chase. So I think that's where we start to see the manipulation going on.
Yeah. So there's a number of, as Amy said, in the large hurricane event, you have opportunistic people that come out to take advantage of people.
Like especially coming in after the event.
After the event.
National news, right? So people are coming from all over the place.
All over the place. They get in their cars, they're ready to roll. You know, and some are good. So some, there are a number of people that go out to help other people, but there are those that are not so good.
What advice would you give for an insurance, a policyholder who gets a knock on the door and someone says, "Hey, I'm a roofer. We're doing, you know, there was a severe storm in your area, something like that." I mean, what are the first steps that they should do? Like they're having this conversation with this person. They did not initiate the knock on the door. What do they do in those cases?
I would probably say the first step is do not sign anything.
You took the words out of my mouth, actually. Yeah, do not sign anything. If you're going to even contemplate signing something, read everything. Read the fine print. If you think you may have damage and you're being solicited for damage, it may very well be the case. But, you know, I'd say with respect to a roofing claim, you know, call two or three different roofers. You know, don't just take that first solicitation. Contact your homeowner's insurance carrier. Let that carrier come out and do an inspection. Contact your agent. You know, that's the process for filing a claim. That's the process for finding out whether you have covered damage based upon the contract that we hold with you. It is not to, you know, be taken advantage of by, you know, signing something that, you know, relinquishes your rights.
As Amy said earlier, this is the homeowner's number one investment, typically.
Sure.
And so do your due diligence. Like contractors that are local, contractors that have a brick and mortar location in the city in which you live, probably a more likely contractor that you want to work with.
I mean, maybe just treat it as though you were doing. Let's say you were doing a kitchen remodel, right? And maybe you're going to put in some new cabinetry and maybe some granite countertops. Are you just going to go and hire the first contractor off the street, or are you going to get two or three quotes and
around,
figure
right?
out, you know, who's going to give you the best price, who's going to give you the right time frame? You know, how is that repair job going to, you know, be facilitated?
And what I hear in that is you're being proactive, right? This is a big investment, a big project. You've dreamed of this. You're going to be proactive, whereas when it's a knock on the door, this is a scam set up for you to be reactive all the way through. In fact, scam artists, they're going to have a whole path to lead you down, right? I love what you said, Amy. Pick up the phone call, call your agent, call a few other roofers. When you're picking up the call and deciding who you're going to reach out to, all of a sudden you're not passively going with someone else's scam, perhaps. You're actually being an active player, right?
Right. And another, I think another trigger out there is when that door knocker, whoever it is already painting a bad picture about an insurance company, right? So they're painting it in advance because they're trying to take advantage of somebody. You know, at any given point, every homeowner has options, but, you know, one of those is report your claim and let your carrier have an opportunity to do the right thing. And I would say most carriers are doing the right thing, and it's just because you get a initial check doesn't mean that's the only thing, right? Doesn't mean it, the claim stops. You have communications that develop. So to you know, listen to somebody that is negative towards another, to a carrier without knowing the process of that carrier.
It sounds like they're trying to create a narrative and get you to fit, you know, like, oh, your insurance company probably made mistakes or something.
Well, and you know, another thing is if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true, right? I mean, you know, don't take things at face value when folks promise to rebate your deductible or, you know, if you give me a referral, I'll pay you X amount of dollars. You know, we're seeing that too in the industry right now. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's a large reason for rising premium costs.
It sounds like don't be afraid to stop, ask questions, reach out to other people. And we've all seen infomercials, right? You need to buy it within the next 5 minutes or it's gone. I'm sure a lot of those people signing on, they're told things like, hey, this is your last day to get in on this roof repair for this area. I'm sure.
Right. Or if you don't sign with me now, you won't get your roof replaced for the next until 3 months from now.
They're going to use the time pressure, right?
Then, yep.
It's now or never. And you can take control. It sounds like to say, hang on a second. I'm going to reach out to my insurance company and a few other roofers and take control of this.
Right.
Appreciate y'all taking time to come in the podcast. As we close up, what's one last take-home point you'd like to share with everyone? Just that is something you learned at the summit or just a last take-home point you'd really love our listeners to hear about?
I think what we left today, that we left in the room and the conversation didn't end today, that the conversation will continue on. We now have a degree of momentum behind it through both our partners and our partner carriers that were present, that people are excited to do something and make a difference.
And I just have to echo what Ron said. I mean, I think, you know, with the help of CNC and our firm sponsors and all of our vendor sponsors, as well as the carriers that were present to support us, you know, I think we had a great inaugural summit. I think that conversation will continue to be fluid. We're looking forward to continuing to facilitate those growing relationships and continue that dialogue.
There was so much networking and people coming together. And like you said, it really felt like more of a starting line of a race instead of a finish line. And so we're excited to see future events like this in the future, bringing people together. It seemed like there was a lot of energy in the room and people all said, hey, we want to follow this leadership that Allied Trust is bringing to the table. And how can we all be part of this? So
next year won't just be us. Next year will be others involved.
That's right. Yeah. And I saw people saying we want to help, help organize a future event and also just dialogue throughout the year. It seems like relationships were made that are going to be fostered. So Ron and Amy, really appreciate you taking time to come in the podcast. Excited to continue following your work. If people want to look into Allied Trust, if they want to find out more about what you do, if they want to find about potential products or coverage in their area, how can they find y'all?
Yep, we are AlliedTrustInsurance.com. Go to the website. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Get some sleep. I know
Thanks
we've all had a long
Thank
week.
You very much.
I can't believe how articulate you both were with all the sleep deprivation that we're all feeling. But it was a great summit, and thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hal.
Well, Ron and Amy, thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast. We learned a lot on this episode. We looked at why Allied Trust is taking leadership in this area, doing the right thing to address insurance fraud. Also, how they're working with so many other professionals, forensic meteorologists, forensic engineers, with different carriers and entities, and also people involved in regulating insurance in different states. So really a lot of different professionals involved. And it was really interesting to look at the landscape. You can be part of this. You know, you can always follow us on GeoTrack, see what we're doing at CNC Catastrophe and National Claims. And again, you can check out Allied Trust as well and see what they're doing to take leadership in this profession. I thought it was really interesting too, talking for the homeowner. If you're an insured and there's a knock on the door and someone says that your roof has been damaged, they want to fix it. I love the advice that Ron and Amy gave that you don't want to sign anything up front and you can take initiative. You can pick up the phone, call your insurance company, call a few different roofers. They're going to probably pressure you and want you to sign something right away. That's a bad move. You want to take a deep breath. There should never be pressure in this field and you should always be able to take the initiative to reach out and make phone calls yourself. Some really great advice there from Ron and Amy. Again, thank you so much for taking time to come in the GeoTrack podcast. Hopefully your home is not damaged from any storms this year, but if it is, some of this advice from Ron and Amy is going to help you through this process a lot better.